Hi, I'm Gil Headley, and I'm the proud sponsor of the Anatomy and Movement Channel. Welcome. This conference is important. It's both groundbreaking and ground-building. Literally hundreds of thousands of us have gathered here to expand our experience of embodiment, and in so doing, evolve the embodied experience of our world. Embodiment is a practice that anchors us consciously into that which is common to us all, our human body. Regardless of our differences, and we have them, we all live out our lives in a body, and we're all connected by that shared experience. I've been developing integral anatomy for the past 25 years. I believe the human body is not a problem to be solved, but rather a gift to be received and explored. Integral anatomy is an approach to understanding the whole body, which emphasizes textural layers, continuities, and relationships. We notice differences not to create separation, but to appreciate that which unites us all. I'll be presenting here on the Anatomy and Movement Channel, as well as on the main stage, and I hope you'll join me to explore the heart of inner space. And for further study with me, check out my website, gilheadley.com. When you join my site, you'll automatically receive 3 free full-length courses because I'm on a mission to share what I've learned through my own deep exploration of the human form. And I'm certain that these courses will enhance and transform your own embodiment practice. I hope you enjoy the presentation.
So yeah, again, welcome to everyone to today's session. So today's session is with Joe Worthington, and it is Carving Your Own Path in the Fitness Industry. So Joe is the co-founder of Jungle Brothers Strength and Movement, where he now runs the marketing department and coaches internship, and you can find his work at junglebrothers.com. So welcome, Joe. I'll hand it over to you.
Thanks, Jake. Thanks for the warm welcome. Thanks, Deidre. Tech host, and for everyone who's listening, whether you're here live or you're watching this as a recording, I appreciate you giving me a few minutes of your time. I want to start with just a couple of little housekeeping bits. I have an Australian accent. Hopefully it's not too thick. It may be a little bit hard to understand certain things that I say. I can't promise that I'm not going to swear. If there's something you don't understand, you can just ask the question and Jake will pass it on to me. Second thing to acknowledge is I don't always have this haircut. It is quite an Australian classic. It's something that came up throughout COVID, and who knows how long it's going to stick around for. But I just wanted to let you know that the mullet hasn't been part of this journey that I'm about to take you guys through, okay? So my name is Joey. I'm co-founder of Jungle Brothers Strength and Movement. We're a strength and movement-based gym in the south of Sydney, Australia. South Sydney is typically quite an industrial area. We started the business around 10 years ago, and it's now at a place where I feel confident to stand in front of a group of individuals and talk about it. And that's what we're going to go into today. I'm hoping that through that discussion, you can pick up some things for yourself and for your business. What I would like you to have, if it's nearby, is a notepad and a pen. We're going to take some short breaks. So I understand that Zoom chats, we've all done a lot of them. Some of us are doing more than others. I understand that these things can be quite disengaging. And what I really don't want is that you find this next 50 odd minutes boring and disengaging. So I want to break it up into about 4 different chapters. And at the end of each chapter, you're going to get a short break. Now, in that break, you can either do some movement, go do some squats or hang or whatever you like to do just to get the blood moving. Or if you have your notepad and pen, I'm going to ask you one question and you're going to have around 90 seconds and you can just scribble down a bit of a response to that. And the idea is that by the end of the whole thing, you have kind of a cool little plan and some ideas and stuff that you can go and put into action, okay? The questions, if you have them, fire them through. Jake will let me know. We'll either answer them at the end of each section or I'll answer them at the end. Whatever happens, we'll make sure they get answered. I like lots of questions, so don't be afraid to ask something. First thing is, and again, I'm not sure how many of you are watching right now, but I would like to get an impression of how many business owners there are. So you can put it into the chat box and just say yes or thumbs up or whatever. Let Jake know. I'd like to get an understanding of how many people listening right now do own a business. It's not essential, but you are going to be the people that I'm speaking to mostly, as well as the people who plan to open their own business, okay? There's 3 things that I want you to get out of this presentation. Essentially, I want you to get clarity on what your idea is. Okay, so I'm guessing you have an idea of something you want to create. Maybe you're already working in it. Maybe it's something you want to work in, but I want you to get clearer on what that idea is. I want you to get inspired. That's the second piece. So I want you to come away from this with a little bit of energy about how good it could be for you to go and create this thing and realize this dream. And then the third thing, this is just to reiterate the point, I don't want you to get bored. So if you get bored, you can totally bail. I won't be offended. You can say this chat sucks. It's cool. But I would rather you stay engaged. So let's see how we can do that, okay? I'm going to break this into four parts. So essentially, we're looking at the past of my business. We're looking at present day, which is now. And then we're looking at the future. And then lastly, we're going to look at a bit of a conclusion with some, I guess, some bones of what you can use to go and carve your own path in the fitness industry, okay? So on that, we're going to go into our first piece. This is our first chapter here. I don't know if that's backwards. It's backwards on my screen, but that says building the world's coolest gym, okay? I'm in business with two great friends of mine, T and Paul. We were three guys in the film industry. We started in the film industry. Sydney has quite a reasonable film industry. We do a lot of American films here and local films, that kind of thing. We worked in this industry for years, 10 to 15 years, and we had a big dream to create the coolest gym in the world. And essentially, we wanted it to be the kind of gym that said, fuck you to the fitness industry. We don't like what the current fitness industry sells. We don't like the mainstream message. And all we knew was that we wanted to create something that cut across the grain of that industry. We wanted this gym to be something the world had never seen before. Okay, so we wanted to create a really unique place, visually, contextually, from the textiles that we used on the floor, to the furniture, to the plants, to the types of equipment we had in there, to even how we ran certain classes or did certain individual training programs. We wanted it to be nothing like the world had ever seen. I'll go a little bit more into that later, but it had to be unique. It had to be new. At the time, we made the decision to do it. My friend T created this business plan. It was the ultimate business plan. He had the visuals of the gym. It looked fucking incredible. It had sleds. It had gymnastic rings. It had weightlifting stuff. It had a little bit of machines, but just the cool stuff. It had a lot of space for open movement. It had fight training areas. It had really essentially what a fucking CrossFit gym now looks like. And I'll talk about this junction of where we realized that our idea was actually already someone else's idea. So what it ended up was we left the film industry. I became a personal trainer in the park. Tiora became a personal trainer at a gym. And we thought, let's do this for a little while we build our roots and start to spread our message amongst people in an organic way. So I was thinking that I'd be running some classes in the park for maybe 6 to 12 months, and that a year later, we would be able to go and open this gym with this army of people who wanted to come and follow us and buy our products and buy our memberships and that kind of thing. 3 years later, I'm still grinding in the park. We've got like 5 members. They pay $35 a week. Tiora's still in his gym. Tiora's his full name. He's still in the gym doing his thing. We're no step closer to what we want to create. We're working ourselves to the bone, and we still have zero idea on how to start a proper business, right? We ended up making a rash move. We heard that there was a gym for sale in the south of Sydney, a notorious industrial area, and it was a retired CrossFit gym. So the owners of the place had fallen to pieces. They wanted to sell this thing. They wanted to offload it really quickly. A friend of mine let me know about it. We went into business, the three of us, with this friend of mine and this other guy, and we bought the gym. And we bought the gym for peanuts, right? We thought we were doing a great thing. We thought we were buying a place that would give us a foothold in the fitness industry, when in reality, all we did was buy a gym that had tarnished its reputation over the preceding years. It had burned all of the people in the local area and was essentially an untouchable now. So we really purchased a piece of shit gym. On top of that, we picked two terrible business partners. That friend of mine, nice guy, horrendous business partner. The other guy, friend of his, also a horrendous business partner. I don't want to go into it too deeply, but essentially, you obviously understand that you need to be mindful of who you're in business with. And we had gone into business with one guy who was inherently lazy and didn't have the same vision as us. He wanted a quick buck, and that was what he was hoping the gym would be. The other guy was really lovely, but it only turned out to us months later that he was really into pyramid selling schemes of really bogus fitness supplements. And so while he was a really nice guy and good to have on the front line, every member that we put him in touch with and every person that came through the gym, he would try to sell them his supplement line, and he would ultimately burn that bridge. That person would never come back and we'd lose a member. Now, it took our members a long time for them to tell us this. So you can kind of see the toxicity of that decision. So bad gym, poor business decision, going into business with the wrong people, and really no idea how to run a fucking business, okay? What we had thought would be a successful thing after only 6 months became nothing. We're still in the park, five people. I'm running classes in the park. I'm running to the gym. I'm coaching classes at the gym. Sometimes there's people turning up. Sometimes there's not. You guys can get a bit of an idea about maybe how that feels, right? From coming from this place of great inspiration to being in the trenches, thinking, how the fuck did we end up in this situation, right? Now, there was a pivotal moment at this time where we had purchased this old CrossFit gym and we were struggling to find ways to market to the people in the area. And so one of the things that we thought was, well, maybe we should just be a CrossFit gym because that will speak to the people that have been to this gym in the past and they might come back, and it will essentially just reignite the same sort of business that was here before. So we had the famous whiteboard session. The three of us got together, myself, Paul and T. We sat down and we said, we agreed that we're going to put everything that our gym is and that we wish for it to be onto this whiteboard, all of the training methodology, the values of the business, the ethos. And if at the end of that process, what we have on the whiteboard looks like CrossFit, then we become CrossFit. But if it doesn't look like CrossFit, then it's not going to be CrossFit. And so we put the stuff up onto the board, and thankfully it wasn't CrossFit. Now, I don't say that because CrossFit's a bad thing, but I say that because that pivotal moment put us onto a trajectory where we find ourselves today, okay? And that's what we're going to explore more in this next piece. So I'm going to give you guys like a 90-second break. If you have your notepad and pen, you can use this break to answer one question for me. Well, do one thing. I want you to describe your big idea. So you have an idea about what it is. Start writing down some notes about that thing. It can be single words. It can be statements. It can be a description of what it is, what the services are. It doesn't really matter. I just want you to start filling a page with what your big idea is. Okay. Do that now. Don't do that. Go do some squats. And then I'll see you guys in 90 seconds. Off you go. Jake, I don't have a clock, but I'm just gauging what 90 seconds is. Feel free to tell me to kick off when you like.
Cool. I don't have an exact clock either, but yeah, your timing is just better than mine.
Cool. In and around. Left. All right, we resume. So, chapter two, this is realizing the dream, kinda. I wanna tell you guys about where our gym is at today. So, as I mentioned, this journey started 10 years ago, 2010. It would be 2012 when we got into our first gym, okay? So 2.5, 3 years in the park and then making our way into a physical facility. Now, we have a bustling gym. It's a small place. It's a warehouse, like I said, in this industrial part of town. We've since moved to a new location, but we're still in the same area. We run over 40 classes per week. The classes cover our unique training methodology, which is fight, lift, move. We have personal trainers working within the gym. There's 11 staff members all up, 10 coaches and one full-time practitioner. So that's an ART practitioner, active release techniques, and our coaches run their businesses from our gym. So they coach PT all day long. That's where they make the bulk of their income. Then we coach classes in the morning and the evening. Us three business owners, we now have formalized roles. So coming from that place where we had no understanding of how to run a business. And when I say we had no understanding, I mean, we really had zero fucking understanding. We now have a head of sales department. We have a head of the marketing department. We have a head of finances. We even have a CEO. Now, a CEO is not necessarily something you would consider to be essential for a company as small as ours. However, it's something that we think is absolutely essential, because there needs to be one person that is accountable for creating the strategy and choosing on where it is that the business wants to get to. So that's where our CEO's role. We have an engaged, thriving, and diverse community of people. So when I say diverse, we have people of all age ranges, from 15 years old or younger up to their 60s. We have people with a strength training background, people with a movement background. We have people with no experience in any of these areas. So what's really cool is that we have this huge melting pot, and there's no real look of the kind of person that trains in our gym. The common thread between them is that they're all open-minded people who are hungry to learn. So there's a distinct lack of ego in the place, which is what gives it its warm vibe and its open sort of community feel. We have an ever-evolving training methodology. So Fight Lift Move, which is the training methodology that we decided we wanted, this is what was born from that whiteboard session. So we wanted weightlifting and lifting of any kinds of objects. We wanted movement of the body, calisthenics and gymnastics, mobility, all of those kinds of things. And we wanted fight training. My background is in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. My business partners both have backgrounds in Thai boxing and Kung Fu. And we wanted those things to be woven into the strength and conditioning training that we did. So the beauty of it is that it allows us to evolve the training methodology over time. We can do any kind of combat style. We can lift whatever we want. It doesn't have to be Olympic weightlifting. We can move in any way that we wish to. I'm sure that there's movement practitioners who are watching this. You understand the size of this realm. So really it gives us infinite scope to change and adjust the training methodology that we choose to give to our members. And this is the same training methodology that we use for ourselves. Our gym has become a bastion of mental and environmental health. Environmental health is a huge part of our business structure. So focusing on the health of the mind, on the health of the individual, on the strength of the body, but also on the strength and the health of the organism as a whole. So from teaching people how to grow their own food in the permaculture garden that we have, to helping people discuss mental health issues and things that they are dealing with, we've created a space where all of this can occur. And most of this happens in an organic sort of way. So we don't run specific events to target any one thing, but these things are woven into the day-to-day interactions within the gym. Lastly, what we have as a result of this is we have the rise of the next generation of gym owners that are coming through our ranks. So these are people that have come to our gym as members, seen what's going on, and then said to themselves, I want something like this that I can run for myself. And the beauty of that is that they see the way that we have expressed our training methodology and our values and our belief, but they've said to themselves, I can do this, I can use these values, I can take this methodology, but I can make it my own. This is what really interests us, because this is how the organization as a whole or the organism evolves. We get young people coming in, fresh ideas, new perspectives, and this is what allows us to develop as a collective. So what I'd like you guys to do, I want to give you another little break. I want to ask you one question here, and you're going to write this down on your paper. What do you need that you don't have? Okay. And I want you to think from the perspective of, I've mentioned the formalized roles of business, sales, marketing, finance, that sort of thing. I've mentioned this next wave of coaches. So we run an internship program in our gym. I've mentioned some of the business model, so personal training, classes, events, that kind of thing, the permaculture garden. I want you to write down, it doesn't have to be a lot of things, but I want you to try and identify what it is that you need that you don't currently have, okay? Take a moment to put that down and then we move into chapter 3. I give you guys another 30 seconds there. If you're not writing anything down, do some squats, do a few sit-ups, whatever it is, even a burpee. It's a CrossFit thing, but I won't hold it against you. Okay, off we go. Chapter 3. Where to now? So the goal for us, where we want to take it to, is we want to create a global community of like-minded humans who also wish to carve their own path in the fitness industry. We are looking for people who wish to express themselves in their own way, take their unique individual skill sets, and then put that into something that can help create strong bodies and strong people around the world. We want to create a platform that can support collaboration, exchange, and mutual evolution amongst this group. We recognize that unity is what allows us to become stronger. So one thing that we notice and that we have sort of driven through, and I would consider this a bit of a brick wall in the fitness game, is that to be a fringe operator and to be successful as someone who's doing a completely unique thing, it is incredibly hard to do so. Okay, going back to the idea of the discussion around CrossFit or being our own thing, CrossFit would have been an easier option for us. It's a huge company. The name is known. It has a marketing department that is largely bigger than ours. It's a really powerful force in the fitness game. So if you get on that bandwagon, you benefit from all of the marketing and all of the sales and all of the reputation, good or bad, of that thing. Now, to create your own thing, you have to go and build these things from the ground up. It's only been through the last 8 years of grinding and hustling and making mistakes and spending copious amounts of money, right? Some wasted, some not, that we've come to understand how we do those things. So how we market, how we manage our finances, how we create a successful sales process, how we generate and create successful relationships within our business. So we're looking to create a platform where we can help people who are like ourselves, who are looking for help, create their own thing and express themselves through their business. We want to support this around the globe. The one thing that we've received ever since we opened our gym was messages from people in other parts of the world who wish that they could train at a gym like ours. Now, what we put up on the whiteboard that day was the gym that we wanted to train at. We wanted somewhere where we could fight. We wanted somewhere where we could lift. We wanted somewhere that we could move. And we wanted a space that was cool to hang out in. Now, I would say that we've been successful in creating these things, though we haven't gotten to the finish line yet. There's still so much that needs to be done in order for our business to reach what we believe is its potential. However, in terms of the space we've created, we've been really successful with that. So in saying that, I want to discuss a few people that are currently coming up through the ranks in our business. So I'm telling you this in the hope that you can see maybe some traits or some qualities in these people that match with yours. So we have one girl that started our internship recently. Now we run a coach's internship program. This program is where we take people who are already coaching or wish to be a coach, and over 12 weeks, we give them as much exposure to the front and the back end of our business. We teach them as much as we can around coaching, managing relationships, marketing their business, growing their business, so that they can then go and become a successful coach. Now, some of these people will work with us. Some of these people will go and create their own things. And the three people that I'm going to mention all came in with the goal to create their own thing. Now, here's the deal. Rika, one of the girls in our program, she has a background in dance and acrobatics. Okay, she's in her mid-20s. She has studied marketing and worked for a marketing agency for a long time. She's an incredible mover, right? Dance and acrobatics. However, she didn't really know how she could get her feet into the fitness industry. So she was thinking along the lines of, I'm going to open a Pilates studio or a yoga studio, or maybe it'll be a combination of dance and Pilates. It was only once we told her that she could create something like ours and that we would be willing to help develop her to the point where she could do that, where she really started to open her eyes and think, I would actually much rather create something like this than something that's already out there. And this is the thing, for someone with passion who is only exposed to the mainstream fitness models that are out there, their mind is naturally going to go towards creating something that's very similar to a replica of one of those things. So by having that discussion with Rika and being able to tell her what we see her potential as being and what we think she could do, it was a really kind of mind-expanding chat for her. And now she wishes to work in our gym. She wants to run her own Jungle Brothers gym. There's a whole bunch of cool things that have come off the back of that. Another guy, Ty. Ty's a breakdancer. He actually doesn't really, he never wanted to train in a gym. He never had any desire to do the kinds of things that we do. He likes the handstands and a bit of the bodyweight strength, but really he never cared much about weightlifting or any of that kind of thing. However, when he came into the gym and he saw the space and he saw that there was this diverse collection of people who were expressing their own disciplines and diving deeper into their own skill sets while also collaborating and exchanging with other people of different skill sets, and that there was no sort of dogmatic culture behind it, there was an openness and a level of collaboration, this is what he was attracted to. So he's taken the same route as Rika, and he wants to create his own Jungle Brothers gym. Now, Ty was in our last internship, so he's now further along that process. But I guess I'm telling you these stories because as fitness operators, we've seen so many people go down the route of 24/7 gyms. So they buy into a franchise they don't like, F45, CrossFit, older training methodologies that perhaps they don't really like, but they see it as being commercially viable. And I suppose our message is that you can create your own thing. You just have to do it in the right way. There's a lot of people that fail, but if you can do it well, then you can have a place that you're equally passionate about, as well as something that generates an income for you and your family and the people in your community. Next task for you guys, and or short break. I want you to write down 3 to 5 tasks that you could do right now. So I want you to have a think about what we've spoken about. I want you to reflect on the last things that you wrote. And I want you to write down 3 to 5 action tasks that you could do literally tomorrow. Okay, so it might be jumping onto the computer for 30 minutes and researching locations in your area. It could be watching a YouTube video on how to do better marketing. It could be taking a look at our website and exploring what we do for a bit of extra inspiration. It doesn't matter. 3 to 5 things that you can do right away. Take 90 seconds to do that now. I'll give you guys another 30 seconds there. All right, very cool. So I want to close with 6 essential items that we see as being part of carving your own path. 6 things that you need to do in order for you to successfully navigate this quagmire of business. And I want to preface this with the notion, or acknowledging the notion, that it's really fucking hard to do it. It's really a grind. It's never an overnight success. It takes consistency and hard work. However, if you do act on these 6 things, I believe that it's going to put you in the best position to be able to express yourself and do your own thing. First is to be unique. So replicating something that's already out there might be a good idea commercially. However, if it's not something that you feel passionately about and it's not bringing some level of innovation to the market and it's not giving people something new to grab hold of and something new to attach to, I would argue that it will be short-lived. It's something that you need to live by. And so uniqueness becomes of paramount importance. We've not created anything new in terms of fight training, lift training, or movement training. However, the way we've curated those things, the parts of those disciplines or of those worlds that we choose to incorporate is unique. The way that we operate our gym is unique. The way that it looks is unique, and our culture is ultimately unique. So it doesn't mean that you need to go out and create your own Pilates thing or redesign some pre-existing discipline, but try to find a collection of things that you're passionate about that you can put together in a way that nobody else can. Second is to leverage those around you. So unless you're coming into this thing with huge amounts of capital, I'm going to imagine that most of you are not, if you're anything like us. Holding onto your money and spending very wisely and frugally, probably a better way to put it, is super important. Leveraging the people around you allows you to get incredible things done, but perhaps at a lower cost. It also allows you to receive input from people who have a different perspective or a different skill set to you. Talking specifically about our gym, carpenters, steel fabricators, interior designers, sound engineers, business and marketing experts, permaculture, food, all sorts of people with unique skill sets that have been there and have offered us in a roundabout way, or perhaps more directly, an opportunity to help us with something or give us something. And we jump on that thing with all the energy we have, because all of the input from these people has helped to shape and evolve our business to where it is today. Passion and work ethic. I touched on this at the beginning of this chapter. Has to be something that you're passionate about. If you're not passionate about it, people will see through it. And ultimately, no one wants to buy something from someone that they don't think that person really gives a shit about. Work ethic is that you're going to have to work really fucking hard, and it's going to be long hours, and it's probably going to go on for years and years. It is our desire to help young business owners, and when I say young, I don't mean in age, but I mean in time in that business, make less mistakes and move through this navigation of a young business at a more consistent rate. So you need to make mistakes, you need to grind, but ultimately you want to try and find the fastest route to get from where you are to where you need to go. So this is something that we want to help people with. However, you need to acknowledge that it is going to be a real challenge for you, and you're going to have to be willing to put in heaps of time. Fourth is to ruthlessly maintain standards. So standards in what your core values are, standards in your beliefs. To create something unique, you obviously have beliefs around that, and that's attached to your values. It can be very easy once money comes into the equation to start to compromise on your values or your standards, just because you think that maybe you're going to be able to make an extra dollar there, or you're going to be able to attract maybe this aspect of the market from here. Short-term fix potentially could be a good idea at that moment. However, in the long run, compromising on your standards will only bite you in the ass. So we believe that you need to maintain your standards from the very beginning. And sometimes it's going to hurt, but you have to do it. Fifth point is protect your main revenue stream. So for us, our main revenue stream is running small group classes in our gym where members come and train in those classes and they pay a weekly membership fee. We do other things that generate money for our business. We sell products, we run workshops, we host retreats, we run nutrition programming, but all of these things are just add-ons to the main revenue stream. At no point can we let those other areas of the business, those other add-on revenue streams, compromise or detract from the main revenue stream. That main revenue stream has to be kept healthy, and you have to protect it at all costs, because when everything goes away, that's the thing that you're left with. So you think of that as the base of the pyramid, and then the other things are just kind of little bits of decoration. And lastly, collaborate. So people around you, those with unique skill sets, coaches, someone that wants to be in business with you, don't make the same mistake we did. Don't go into business with the pyramid scheme guy and the other guy that's really nice but shit at business and ultimately lazy. Choose wisely like collaborate with people around you, because ultimately for us to create something great and something that is unique, you need to use the power of the collective and working with other people. And I say this coming from a business where it has three owners. I couldn't do it without them, and I couldn't imagine doing it by myself. It would probably have killed me 5 or 10 years ago if I hadn't done it without them. So collaborate as much as possible. That concludes today's talk on carving your own path. I'm open to questions right now, and I have some parts where you can connect with us, but I'll let Jake tell me what the next part of the process is. Thank you guys for your attention, whether you're watching live or you're watching this later. Like I said in the beginning, it's the most important thing for me is that you can get some kind of action off the back of this, so that you can have some tasks written down and actually take some steps to put it into action. I would love to see you do that. Get at me. I'll put up my where you can contact me, but I would love to see some inspiration coming from this chat. Jake.
Perfect. Thank you, Joe. That was brilliant and really valuable. Thank you so much for that presentation. So you guys can feel free to put any questions in the chat if you want. And I'll shoot them through to Joe. We haven't got any questions in there at the moment, but I've got a question for you. What was kind of the time span from you deciding that this is that was something that you wanted to go forward with to the point where you felt like it was stable enough that you weren't like that you could kind of relax from it in a sense, so that you weren't completely 100% switched on to the business and it wasn't taking up all your mental energy?
That's a good question. I can say that it's probably only been in the last 2 years where I felt like I could, you know, take a bit of a break, not be stressed out about the whole thing 24/7. Now, that has only come about from us putting systems in place and being able to get other people to take over certain roles that we had in the beginning. And also for us to be able to have enough of a view over our financial situation and all that sort of thing to know, okay, like this is, it's pretty stable. However, I'll be honest, at this point where the gym is really only 8 years thereabouts down the path, I still have this inkling of insecurity in my mind. And I think that that is ultimately a healthy thing. And it's a little bit of the downside of running a small business, but I think that that needs to be there, because it keeps you hungry and it keeps you on your toes. So while I can sleep better at night now, you know, if you asked me if I was completely free of any of those thoughts, I'd be lying if I said I was.
Yeah, I love that. That's really good and really important to keep in mind. I love that point of always having it in the back of your mind, because when it's not in the back of your mind, then you're probably not focusing on it enough. Or like if there's not some point in there where you're thinking about it.
Exactly. And I mean, this year, right, something like COVID, that was a really good, whether or not we were on point with thinking that way pre-COVID, COVID made us think in that way, because all of a sudden the reality was you could lose your business. Like it could all go to shit right now. So it forced us into really back into that like super early startup mode, because we had to be innovative, come up with new ideas, save the business. And, you know, at this point, it's been really good. It was actually a great opportunity for us, but it kind of reignited that hunger in a sense. So obviously there's all the downside to COVID, but some of the good things to come out of it for us were that it reignited the fire in a sense.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. We haven't got any more questions in the Q&A. If you don't mind, I'll ask you a couple more because I'm just curious. I run a small coaching business just here, just south of Newcastle, just movement coaching. And I was curious, like, how was it, did you guys get in like external investment, and like, what was it like sourcing that, if you did, if you don't mind sharing?
No, not at all. We initially didn't have external investment. Initially it was all us. And so, you know, that it was like a drip feed of money into the business, right? It was like, can you pay rent this month? Oh, I'll cover it. Okay, yeah, you get next month kind of thing. And like I said, we bought this secondhand gym. So we managed to purchase their equipment and everything at a very cheap rate. Moving into where we are in our current location, that required money. And so we looked at banks, and very fortunately, we actually had two members of our gym who were longtime members who both offered to give us money. They said, look, we love what you guys are doing. We have money to invest. And, you know, they were separate to each other, but essentially they said the same thing. We've got money to invest. You guys are legends. We believe in you. And if you wanted to loan some money from us, we'd be happy to do it. So we actually took out like a personal loan from two different people, and they're loans that we just service now on a regular basis. I was concerned about taking a loan from members, from friends, but we were very, very clear about the relationship between them, and we had it all done through lawyers and whatnot. So it was all very official. And it's actually been a really nice thing because it's given us a real boost in faith to have people that come and spend at our business, you know, every week to say, hey, I want to invest with you guys. It was a really nice thing. So yeah, it was necessary once we decided to expand to get outside investment.
Love it. Cool. We've got a question here. Do you plan to add some virtual classes with this, with COVID, and is it possible with the kind of work that you do to add virtual classes?
Yes, it is. This was one of the cool things for us to come out of COVID, was that we started to broadcast all of our classes online. And we decided once the lockdown in our city had ended, that we would just continue to offer the online classes. So as it stands, we don't offer our jiu-jitsu classes online because you kind of can't do it through a computer, but we do offer all of our other classes online. So if you go to junglebrothers.com, you can see the complete timetable of classes that we run, and they're all available. You can train them at home. You'll be there. You'll see a gym full of people. The coach will be communicating with them and communicating with you. We keep the audio and the sound quality really high. And it's actually been a really nice way for us to connect with people in different parts of the world who were looking for a solution through this time. So yes, virtual classes are available.
Cool. Sweet. And another question is, what about expanding? Is the location yours, or are you renting where you are?
We rent. Yeah, and if you've ever seen the prices of commercial property in Sydney, you might have a heart attack. we would love to own it, and that is a goal someday, but our focus has now shifted towards connecting with people who want to do their own thing. And so we have our location, our base. Now we want to help people across the globe do their own thing. And so that's really, I don't see us opening personally more gyms because that just takes up our time from being able to help other people do the same thing.
Yeah, cool. Sweet. Well, that's pretty much it. So if you guys watching want to learn more, you can go to junglebrothers.com. The link to that is in the chat, and you can follow Joe and Jungle Brothers on Instagram. They've got some great stuff up there. A few announcements before we close out. The next session on this channel will be happening in a little bit over an hour, and that's all around flow states and cultivating flow states. So that one will be interesting if you guys want to stick around for that. And if you haven't already joined the Facebook group, then the link to that will be in the chat. And as I think I mentioned at the start, this recording is going to be available for 48 hours. But after that, if you guys want to own kind of the whole library of the Embodiment Conference and go through it in your own time, then the link to purchase the full library and all the recordings is also going to be in the chat. So make sure you check that out. And I'll hand it over back to you, Joe, for one final word. What is your top tip on how to be more embodied?
I would say set yourself a vision of where it is that you wish to get to, and then realign yourself to what that vision is on a regular basis. So whether it's with your training or with your business or with your relationships, your family, sit down, give yourself some creative time to visualize and imagine where you want that to be in 5, 10, 20, 30 years from now. And then look at that on a regular basis so that you can move in that direction.
Perfect. Love it. All right. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. And thank you, Joe, for presenting.